You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
There's talk in Alberta of a new piece of healthcare legislation called the Alberta Health Act. The government has stated that it is supposed to reorganize and revamp that province's healthcare system. The province currently has several individual pieces of legislation regarding public health, and this new legislation is supposed to merge all of these into one and make other reforms in the process. The Parkland Institute is a public interest research center based out of the University of Alberta. They produced a report on this reform called The New Alberta Health Act, Risks and Opportunities. Colleen Fuller joins me in the studio this morning. She co-authored that report. Welcome again to Red Eye, Colleen.
Thank you.
Why is this reform being brought forward?
Well, that's a good question. Nobody seems to be quite sure of why the government is moving in this direction. In fact, somebody was telling me it's a conspiracy to distract people from something else that's really going on. But that gives you an idea of really how much people in Alberta understand, you know, where the government's coming from. There's a lot of, you know, Alberta, I'm sure everybody knows, has a long history of activism around healthcare, and so the public there is very, their interest is heightened, but they're not getting any information from the government except for pretty much what you was in your introduction, standardizing definitions, introducing flexibility, a patient charter. Those are some of the key things that have been discussed. But there's no meat on the bones. There's no detail. There's nothing. And in fact, one of the meetings that was held the other day, one of the people at the meetings, at this particular meeting, got up and begged the government to just, he said, quote, just tell us what you want to do and how you're going to do it. And there was no answer to this guy. So the government is being pretty cagey. There's a document that people can get on the internet called, I can't remember what it's called. It's a foundation document is what how it's referred to. And people want to find out more, they can do that. They can go and take a look at it.
So there is some quote-unquote public consultation going on by your reference?
Yeah.
What's the character of that?
Well, these are by invitation-only meetings. I think that what they wanted to do is kind of model it on the conversation on health that we had in BC. But it's a very, very, very low scale. So there aren't very many meetings that are taking place. They're not inviting broad public input. So it's because really they've got nothing to talk about. I mean, this is one of the problems. But so it's nothing like the conversation on health that was conducted here.
You mentioned a number of things that concern you, issues that concern you. One of them was the patient's charter. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Well, the patient charter, there's a lot of different countries actually that have talked about the patient charter, and it's supposed to, the idea is to give patients a guarantee that they will get the high quality services that they are entitled to through a patient charter. The way that it's being packaged in Alberta is that it will increase individual responsibility and increase flexibility within the system. So a lot of the patient charter rhetoric is based on sort of the ideology of individual choice. And so it moves away from the idea of health as a collective and social responsibility to the idea that it's an individual responsibility and that you should be able to choose what kind of health care you need. So the problem with that is that it really does increase the responsibility of individuals. It's a very the essence of it is anti-poor, because, for example, if you are a healthy person, you exercise, you take holidays, you do all these great things, and if you're a poor person, a lot of those things just aren't available to you. So, you know, it's no secret that poor people have poorer diets, that they live in more stressful environments, etc., so that this undermines people's health. So the patient charter is an attack on society's responsibility to enhance everybody's health rather than leaving it to the individual.
Now, another thing mentioned in the introduction was an intention of linking together disparate parts of the health legislation. What risks are attendant, do you think, with this approach that they're making towards
standardization?
Standardization.
Yeah, that's the term that they're using. Well, one of the things that they're saying that they will standardize definitions through all of the various pieces of legislation that exist in Alberta, through the Alberta Health Act. And that's not necessarily a bad idea. There should be standard definitions and so forth. But one of the problems is that it would move away from flexibility. I mean, they're saying that the patient charter will introduce flexibility in the system, but standardizing definitions moves in the opposite direction. And I'll give you just one example of that. One of the things that they're looking at is the definition of medical necessity. And this is a term that has been a battleground amongst different groups across the country for years and years and years, because it's a term that's used in the Canada Health Act and has been interpreted by the province in different ways. So there was pressure from mainly the private sector to define medical necessity in legislation. And at the time, this was in the mid-1990s, the federal health minister said, no, we're not going to do that, because if we define medical necessity in legislation, then in 10 years it will be outdated. And so the lack of a definition enables us to be flexible with the definition in the legislation. So this is some of the concern around entrenching these definitions in law. Every time something changes, you then have to amend the legislation. Can you imagine what chaos would come from that? So that is really what the main concern is.
And of course, there's this constant effort to increase privatization of the healthcare. How is that, do you think, part of this new initiative by the Alberta government?
Well, it's not exactly clear what the government is intending in that regard, but the terms like flexibility, choice, all of these are basically market terms, so it gives you some idea of where they're coming from, at least ideologically. It's no secret that the Alberta government wants to ensure that the private sector has a role in the healthcare system, and there's people in this province are completely familiar with this type of approach by the government, because we have the same problem. But so they're being very vague about that. When they're being challenged on what their intentions are around the role of the private sector, they're completely non-committal. So that's a big problem. But given the track record of the Alberta government and given the support that they have provided to private investors in the healthcare system. I mean, Alberta's been a pioneer in carving out a role for private surgical centers, including cataract surgeons and so forth and so on. So there's a big fear and a big suspicion in Alberta that this law is simply going to entrench that role for the private sector and will really remove the ability of citizens to at least keep the private sector at bay or even reduce their participation in the health economy.
If we look at it from the opposite, from the critique to positive proposals, what would you like to see being done, incorporated in this plan of the Alberta government?
Well, I'll give you three examples. One, instead of a patient charter, what we're proposing is that the government should fund patient advocacy. And a lot of people are really dependent on private sector groups. The pharmaceutical industry is a big funder of patient advocacy across the country. And we think that it would be very innovative for Alberta to introduce funding for patient advocacy. There have been studies to show that this really does support better health for people. I won't get into the details because it's complicated, but there is a link between patient advocacy and improved health outcomes. The second thing is, in terms of pharmaceutical policy, Alberta could reduce the amount of money that's being spent on prescription drugs. And if they introduced a kind of a therapeutics initiative in Alberta or partnered with the therapeutics initiative in BC, which is really the gold standard in terms of objective arm's length assessment of the safety and effectiveness of drugs. And a lot of the safest and most effective drugs are also not coincidentally cost-effective. So that's the second proposal. And the third thing that we're proposing is that people should, the use of hospitals is very, very costly, and there are a lot of services that should be devolved to the community within the public system. And what happens now in BC and Alberta and in most provinces is that services are shifted to the community, which is a euphemism for the private sector. So what we're saying is a lot of those services should be publicly funded, the providers should be publicly funded, and there should be access in the community to these types of services, which would be really revolutionary in Canada if that happened. So that's something that we would think could happen. That's an opportunity that is, you know, presents itself and has a lot of public support in Alberta as well.
Well, thanks for both the critique and the positive proposals, which of course apply here as much as anywhere else.
Yeah, they sure do.
Thanks, Colleen.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
I've been speaking with Colleen Fuller. She's a health researcher here in Vancouver. She co-authored the report, The New Alberta Health Act, Risks and Opportunities. The report was published through the Parkland Institute at the University of Alberta. You can find it on the web at parklandinstitute.ca.